Om Yenitananda Sa, Nanada Sakaya, Taksik Similitan, Janitas, my Sri Vinamaha. Sri Chaitanya Manavistam, Stapitam, Dinavatele, Sayam, Prakalamayam, the Tatisa. We've heard from many chapters how to organize society that the members achieve devotional service, which frees one from all types of anxiety and fear by placing one at the lotus feet of Krishna. And we've heard Narada Muni's response to Yudhisthira's question of how the mudhadi, the foolish materialistic persons who are trapped in household life, can attain the highest destination. And we heard Narada Muni's answering yesterday how the culmination of all the different sacrifices and renunciations and yoga is to understand the oneness of everything. This is the purpose of all the different elements in the Vedic culture, the whole Vedic organization. One performs one's duty according to the strictures of the scriptures and offer the fruits of one's work to the Lord. The goal of all this, Vedischa Savar Ameva Vidho, Krishna explains, by the Vedas. Krishna explains, I am to be known. So this is the oneness, the underlying principle behind everything. But that underlying principle, which is known as the Param Satyam, or the Absolute Truth, can ultimately be seen, although it can be seen in three ways. It is ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Vedanti tat tatvabhyas tatvabhyas agyam adaya brahmeti. If one practices jnana yoga, the Absolute Truth is perceived, that the one Absolute Truth is perceived as just the unity of existence. And if one practices astanga yoga, that Absolute Truth is perceived as the Supersoul. And if one practices Bhakti Yoga, by the grace of that Absolute Truth, one understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that, Narada Muni concludes to Yudhisthira. He says that you've achieved that. You're considering yourself mudadi, or stuck in the material world. But just understand, and this was the final verse we read yesterday, which was the conclusion. Just understand that because of your service to the Supreme Lord, because of your bhakti, your devotional service, bhakti just doesn't mean devotion, it means service, devotional service. Because of your devotional service to the Supreme Lord, all of you Pandavas defeated the greatest dangers posed by numerous kings and demigods. You are protected by that Lord. By serving the lotus feet of Krishna, you conquered great enemies. You are protected by that Lord, who are like elephants. And thus you collected ingredients for sacrifice. By His grace, may you be delivered from material involvement. So the question, how can one be delivered? It's not exactly the Vanashrama system that will deliver one, or one's practices of jnana or bhakti. The ultimate method of deliverance is bhakti. Why? Because by that, by His grace, one is delivered. Because that is the glory of bhakti, devotional service. That it places one under the delivering power of Krishna. Daiviyeshu gunamayi mama maya duratya mameva te prapalyante maya meva trati. So now Narada Muni is going to tell a pastime. The pastime is how he came to Krishna consciousness. So this was already told in the early chapters of the first canto, chapters 4 through 7. This is told how Narada Muni actually became a devotee, how I came to Krishna consciousness. But this, what's being told now as an example of how one can become delivered, this part of the story of Narada Muni was not told. This is prior to the birth that he took as a maidservant. And in the fourth canto, the fourth chapter of the first canto, fourth, when Narada Muni comes before Vyasadeva, and by the time the fifth canto and the fifth and sixth chapters coming around, Narada Muni explains that he was just an innocent boy, didn't know anything. His father, he didn't know who his father was. He was being taken care of by his mother, but he gained the association of some bhakti vedantas, some great devotees. When they had stopped in one place during the Chaturmasya, the rainy season, for 4 months, and he served them, and by virtue of serving them and taking the remnants of their prasadam and hearing their instructions and following those instructions, Narada Muni described how he became that great devotee, who was Narada Muni. So how did he take birth in the family, a lower family, a Sudra family? Narada Muni is going to say that, and he's going to explain the actual source or cause of his deliverance too, because this is the actual method to get out of the material world. Because so many instructions are given in the Bhagavad Gita, in its hundreds of verses, there are so many instructions on so many different levels, and ultimately Krishna says, Sarvadamam Pratyaja, you give up all that I've told you, and Amamekam Sharanam, you surrender unto me. So what is that surrendering unto Krishna? So there's some hints of that Narada Muni will explain here, because that's the actual process of being delivered. So Narada Muni says in text 69, long, long ago, in another Mahakalpa, a millennium of Brahma, this is a long time ago, millions of years, I existed as the Gandharva known as Upabharan. I was very respected by the other Gandharvas. Gandharvas are celestial singers. And Narada Muni, that soul who now is Narada Muni, was previously inhabiting the body of a Gandharva, very pious, exalted person, a great, wonderful singer, better than a rock star even. Here's some of Prabhupada's purport right at the beginning. Srila Narada Muni is giving a practical example from his past life, how one gets delivered, because he's told how to get delivered. Now he's going to explain in essence by the example of his own life. Formerly, during the previous lifetime of Lord Brahma, Narada Muni was one of the desert denizens of Gandharva Loka. But unfortunately, as will be explained, he fell from his exalted position in Gandharva Loka, where the inhabitants are extremely beautiful and expert in singing, to become a Sudra, a lower class person. Nonetheless, because of his association with devotees, he became more fortunate than he was in Gandharva Loka. Even though cursed by the Prajapatis to become a Sudra, in his next life he became the son of Lord Brahma. So Narada Muni was Upabharan, the Gandharva. I had a beautiful face and a pleasing, attractive bodily structure, decorated with flower garlands and sandalwood pulp. I was most pleasing to the women of my city. Thus I was bewildered, always feeling lusty desires. So by improper association, one's natural consciousness becomes lost, because by improper associations, one's material desires become inflamed. At the end of... So this is considered unfortunate, as Prabhupada explains at the end of the purport. When one becomes filled with lower class desires, this is very unfortunate. Why? Because that means that one is going to have to be placed, or place oneself, or the combination of the material nature and one's desires is going to place one in a lower situation. Because one needs a lower situation to fulfill those desires. And this is unfortunate, because one can lose the greatest opportunity of one's life. And also, material desires, rather than filling us with happiness when we try to satisfy them, they fill us with misery and more desires. And more degradation of desires. So unfortunate. More and more sinful activities. Unfortunate. More and more bad association. Unfortunate. More and more and more material desires. Passion leading to ignorance. Unfortunate. The heart actually becomes tortured by these things. So now the sad tale shall continue. Ekada, once, Devasatra too, in the assemblies of the demigods, indeed, Gandharva Apsaram Gana, there was the Ganas, or groups of the Gandharvas and the Apsaras, the heavenly angelic dancers and the singers. And this group, Upahuta Vishva Shrigbir, all were invited, the Gandharvas and the Apsaras, by the great demigods known as the Prajapatis, Hari Gato Pagayane, on an occasion of Hari Kata, basically, kirtan, to glorify the Supreme Lord Hari. So all they were invited to this kirtan party, Hari Gato Pagayane, to sing the glories of Lord Hari. Prabhupada's purport. Sankirtan means the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. The Hare Krishna movement is not a new movement, as people sometimes mistakenly think. The Hare Krishna movement is present in every millennium of Lord Brahma's life, and the holy name is chanted in all the higher planetary systems, including Brahmaloka and Chandraloka, not to speak of Gandharvaloka and Apsaraloka. The Sankirtan movement that was started in this world 500 years ago by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is therefore not a new movement. Sometimes, because of our bad luck, this movement is stopped. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his servants again start the movement for the benefit of the entire world, or indeed the entire universe. So what did Narada Muni, Upabharana, the Gandharva, do when he was in the midst? He was beautiful, very attractive to the women. What did he do at this Hari Kirtan festival? Narada Muni explained further. Aham, I, cha gayam stavidvam, I began singing the glories of others, the demigods, rather than that of the Lord. Tadvidvan, knowing very well the art of singing. So with a very, very, very sweet, alluring voice, he began singing of the glories of others, the demigods, etc. Sribhi parivrito gata, being surrounded by women. He went there doing that, knowing well this was against what was supposed to be going on. Here's Prabhupada's translation, and then we'll read from the purport. Being invited to that festival, I also joined, and surrounded by women, I began musically singing the glories of the demigods. Because of this, the Prajapatis, the great demigods in charge of the affairs of the universe, forcefully cursed me with these words. Because you have committed an offense, may you immediately become a sudra, devoid of beauty. From Prabhupada's purport, about a third of the way down. Kirtan means glorifying the Supreme Lord, not any demigod. Sometimes people invent Kali Kirtan or Shiva Kirtan, and even big sannyasis in the Mayavad school say that one may chant any name and still get the same result. But here we find that millions and millions of years ago, when Narada Muni was a Gandhava, he neglected the order to glorify the Lord, and being mad in the association of women. Mad means he thought having them smile at him, indicating how wonderful he was singing, and batting their eyes at him. Oh, you sang so wonderfully. He thought that was the most wonderful thing and all important. He became intoxicated by his power to influence the girls. So, he became mad in the association of women and he began to chant otherwise. Thus he was cursed to become a sudra. His first offense was that he went to join the Sankirtan party in the company of lusty women. And another offense was that he considered ordinary songs like cinema songs and other such songs to be equal to Sankirtan. They want me to sing here? Okay, so I'll sing. I'll sing this song and that song and this song and that song. But it's Hari Gato. That's what they wanted. Hari Gato Pagayane. To sing the glories of Hari. So the singing is the same, but when Hari is glorified, when the Lord is glorified, when Krishna is glorified, it's completely different from when anyone else is glorified. One is transcendental. When the Lord is glorified by a devotee, the sound vibration is spiritual. It's so uplifting. But if one's mood is non-devotional, it's to attract others. I want everyone to be thinking, oh, how wonderful, what a great kirtan leader he is, what a wonderful class giver he is. If that becomes the motivation, the impelling force, then where's the devotion? It's devotion, self-devotion. It's madness, actually, using Krishna to glorify me. So this is not good. So he began to chant otherwise, thus he was cursed to be a sudra. His first offense was he went to join the Sankirtan party in the company of lusty women, and another offense was that he considered ordinary songs, like cinema songs and other songs, to be equal to Sankirtan. For this offense, he was punished with becoming a sudra. And he continues. Now this verse explains clearly the cause of the next two verses. Explain the point that he really wishes to make by the example of his own life. Although I took birth as a sudra from the womb of a maidservant, he didn't even know who his father was. His mother didn't know who his father was. I engaged in the service of Vaishnavas who were well versed in Vedic knowledge. Consequently, in this life, I got the opportunity to take birth as the son of Lord Brahma. And in the next verse, the process of chanting the holy name of the Lord is so powerful that by this chanting, even householders, grihasthas, because Yudhisthira asked, how can the householders, the mudadis, those who tend to get bewildered by the material necessities of life, thinking that's all in the all, how can they become extricated from this and take the spiritual life? So he's saying, by this process, by this dharma, by this practice, what is that? Engaging in the service of the Vaishnavas, hearing from them, following their instructions, and chanting. Narada Muni is famous for always chanting the glories of the Lord. Radhika Ramana Namane, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. So by this process of chanting the holy name of the Lord is so powerful that even householders, grihasthas, can very easily attain the ultimate result achieved by persons in the renounced order. Maharaj Yudhisthira, I have now explained to you that process of religion, that dharma, by which one can attain devotional service. So this is the culmination of the points that he's making by describing, that Narada Muni is making by describing the Vana Ashrama system, is that it culminates, as he's describing, with service to the devotees, with becoming a Vaishnava by chanting the Lord's holy names, and that by this process one can become delivered. I'll read two parts of Prabhupada's purport to 73, half of that, and then the short purport to 74. The Sankirtan movement is important. For regardless of whether one is a Sudra, Vaisham, Lecha, Yavana, or whatever, if one associates with a pure devotee, follows his instructions, and serves the pure devotee, his life is successful. This is bhakti. Anakulyena Krishnanu Shilanam. Bhakti consists of serving Krishna and his devotees very favorably. Anukulena Krishna. Very favorably. With a favorable spirit and mood, wishing to please them. That is bhakti. That is Bhagavad Dharma. Anyabhilasita shunyam. If one has no other desire than to serve Krishna and his devotee, then his life is successful. This is explained by Narada Muni through this practical example from his own life. And then he says that by following this Dharma, and Prabhupada makes that this religious process of chanting, then any person can become free regardless of his position. Prabhupada's purport. This is a confirmation of the Krishna consciousness movement. Anyone who takes part in this movement, regardless of what he is, can gain the topmost result achieved by a perfect sannyasi, namely brahma-gyan, spiritual knowledge. Even more important, he can advance in devotional service. Maharaj Yudhisthira thought that because he was a grihastha, there was no hope of his being liberated. And therefore he asked Narada Muni, how could he get out of the material entanglement? That was in the 14th chapter. How can the grihamedi, how can one who's entangled in material life get out? But Narada Muni, citing a practical example from his own life, established that by associating with devotees and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, not cinema songs, any man in any condition of life can achieve the highest perfection, without a doubt. My dear Maharaj Yudhisthira, you, the Pandavas, are so fortunate in this world, because Maharaj Yudhisthira is thinking himself unfortunate because he's entangled in his kingly duties, he's entangled as a family man with his family, so many ways. And there he was thinking of Prahlad Maharaj, who was so fortunate that Lord Nisringadev even came to rescue him. So therefore he asked the question, how can we become fortunate in this way? But actually, Maharaj Yudhisthira, due to his humility, was thinking that, but he was most fortunate, even more fortunate actually than Prahlad Maharaj. Why? You Pandavas, Narada Muni says, are so very fortunate in this world that many, many great saints who can purify all the planets of the universe come to your house just like ordinary visitors. Furthermore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is living confidentially with you in your house, just like your brother. How wonderful it is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Param Brahma, Krishna, who is sought by great sages for the sake of liberation and transcendental bliss, is acting as your best well-wisher, your friend, your cousin, your heart and soul, your worshipable director, and your spiritual master. It's one thing to be worshipping God. Oh God, help me. I fearfully worship you. Please protect me from this. Please protect me from that. But it's another thing when God, without asking, comes and lives in your house. and treats you like you're his brother. He acts as your best well-wisher, your friend, your cousin, even more than a friend, a bodily relation. He becomes your cousin, your heart and soul, your worshipable director and your spiritual master. He became the messenger of the Pandavas, the chariot driver of Arjuna, Senayo, beyond Madhye. Arjuna told Krishna, Rattaya stapaya mechuta, drive my chariot in the midst of the armies. Became the servant of Arjuna. God takes these positions with such intimate devotees. So Narada Muni is saying, how fortunate you are. You're not even aware of your own fortune. Prabhupada's purport to the 76th verse. Krishna can become the director and spiritual master of anyone who is serious about getting the mercy of Krishna. The Lord sends the spiritual master to train a devotee. And when the devotee is advanced, the Lord acts as the spiritual master within his heart. Tesham satatayuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam nenamamupyatite. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Krishna does not become the spiritual master unless one is fully trained by his representative spiritual master. Therefore, as we have already discussed, the Lord's representative spiritual master should not be considered an ordinary human being. The representative spiritual master never gives any false knowledge to his disciple, but only perfect knowledge. Thus he is the representative of Krishna. Krishna helps us, the guru or spiritual master, from within and from without. Sakshad Hari Tvena Asamasta Sastray. That Krishna works through that spiritual master directly. Spiritual master is directly Krishna. From without he helps the devotee as his representative. So it's Krishna who is acting. Bhayam dvitiya binaveshitasya dishara patasya vaparitasmiti tanmaya yato buddha abhijatam bhaktyaika yekam guru deva tatma. To get free from the fears of the material world caused by duality. Same point, duality. And to become fixed in the oneness of seeing all as Krishna's mercy. Bhaktyaika yekam, worship Krishna with fixed one-pointed attachment, and worship Krishna by seeing the Guru. Serving the Guru, and worshiping Krishna by serving the Guru, and taking instruction from him as taking instructions from Krishna. He talks, so when someone is advanced in that way, from within, he talks personally with the pure devotee and gives him instructions by which he may return home back to Godhead. And from without, he helps the devotee as his representative. That's when one is pure, fully pure. Then one hears directly what Krishna wants of him. 77. Present here now is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose true form cannot be understood even by such great personalities as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. He is realized by devotees because of their unflinching surrender. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the maintainer of his devotees and who is worshipped by silence, by devotional service and by cessation of material activities, be pleased with us. Lord Krishna, Prabhupada explains, is not properly understood even by such exalted personalities as Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, what to speak of ordinary men. But by his causeless mercy, he bestows the benediction of devotion upon his devotees, who can thus understand Krishna as he is. Bhaktyamam abhijananti yavanyas tasmi tatvata. No one within this universe can understand Krishna in truth. But if one engages in devotional service, one can understand him perfectly well. This is also confirmed by the Lord in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Maya ashaktamana parta yogam yunjam rasraya asamsayam samagramam yatagyagyasi tachunu. Now, hear, O son of Pritha, Arjuna, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. Mind attached to me. Lord Krishna himself teaches how one can understand him perfectly well without a doubt. Not only the Pandavas, but everyone who sincerely accepts the instructions of Krishna can understand the Supreme Personality as he is, Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is. After instructing Yudhisthira Maharaj, Narada Muni prays for the Lord's blessing that he can be pleased with everyone and that everyone become perfect in God consciousness and return home back to Godhead. 78. Sri Sukadev Goswami said, Maharaj Yudhisthira, the best member of the Bharata dynasty, thus learned everything from the descriptions of Narada Muni. After hearing these instructions, he felt great pleasure from within his heart, and in great ecstasy, love and affection, he worshipped Lord Krishna. We'll come back and read the purports. But now we'll continue the verses to the end of the chapter and the end of the canto. Narada Muni, being worshipped by Krishna and Maharaj Yudhisthira, so Krishna was right there while Yudhisthira was hearing Krishna's glories from Narada. Then Narada bade them farewell and went away. Yudhisthira Maharaj, having heard that Krishna's cousin is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was struck with wonder. Shutva Krishnam Parabrahma, heard that Krishna is the Param Brahma, the Supreme Great, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Parta Parama Vishmita. Parama, he was so struck with Vishmita, with wonder, because there was Krishna, acting as his messenger, acting as his brother, acting as his cousin, acting as the future as Arjuna's chariot driver, living in the house with him, offering obeisances to Yudhisthira, and he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Yudhisthira, understanding this, was struck with wonder. On all the planets within this universe, the varieties of living entities, moving and non-moving, including the demigods, demons, and human beings, were all generated from the daughters of Maharaj Daksha. I have now described them in their different dynasties. So that description began in the third canto, describing the sons of Swayambhu, the descendants of Swayambhuva Manu, and how they populated the universe. So first, the descendants of, in the third canto, first Kapila Muni, the descendant of Devahuti, the daughter of Swayambhuva Manu, was described, and then married to Kadama Muni, and then in the fourth canto, the story of Daksha, the story of Dhruva Maharaj, going to Prithu Maharaj, all descendants of Uttanapad, from Dhruva Maharaj onward, the descendants of Uttanapad, the son of Swayambhuva Manu, then Prithu Maharaj, then the Prachetas, like that. And then in the fifth canto, the other descendants of Priyavrata, the son of Swayambhuva Manu, were described all the way Rishabdev. And in this way, how the universe was populated has been described by describing the descendants of Manu, Swayambhuva Manu. So that is actually the end of the seventh canto. We leave just those very short purports at the end. So Yudhisthira heard these instructions of Narada and he worshipped Lord Krishna in great ecstasy. It is natural, Prabhupada's purport, that when someone belongs to one's family, when someone belonging to one's family's circle is understood to be very great, one becomes ecstatic in love, thinking, oh, such a great personality is our relative. When Sri Krishna, who was already known to the Pandavas, was further described by Narada Muni to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Naturally, the Pandavas were amazed, thinking the Supreme Personality of Godhead is with us as our cousin. Certainly, their ecstasy was extraordinary. And Yudhisthira was struck with wonder to understand Partha Parama Vishmita, to understand who Krishna was. Prabhupada's short purport. After hearing the conversation between Narada and Yudhisthira, if one still has any doubts about Krishna as being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should immediately give them up. Asam Sayam Samagram. Without any doubt and without any defect, one should understand Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus surrender at his lotus feet. Ordinary persons do not do this, even after hearing all the Vedas. But if one is fortunate, although he may be born, although it may be even after many, many births, he comes to this conclusion. Bahunam Janmanante Gyanavamambrabhyante Vasudeva Savamiti. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 7th canto, 15th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, completed on the night of Vaishakhi Sukla Ekadasi, the 10th of May, 1976, in the temple of the Panchatattva, New Navadvip, Honolulu, by the mercy of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigova Bhaktivinoda. Thus we may happily chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. End of the 7th canto. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jay, Srila Prabhupada ki jay. Any questions or comments? Yep. Yep.
Last thing that happened is he mentions his son, worshipping the Lord of songs.
Worshipping the Lord what?
Songs.
Yes. Monam. Well, for a devotee that means by not speaking nonsense. Gramya katha na sunye. Yes? Sunive. Don't hear gramya katha. And because if one doesn't hear it, one won't speak it either. There's such a difference actually when one speaks about just this and that, and one hears and speaks about Krishna. There's such a difference in the consciousness. So that's a way to worship Krishna. What's the rest of that verse? That instruction that Mahaprabhu gave? Gramya kata na sunive something na hoil. You know it?
What
is it? Yeah, so some instructions that were given. Don't act like a foolish person. Just, yeah. Don't, do you know the, like, you could find it if you like. If you can, if you're able to. Yeah. 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 See what it means.
It means don't listen to loose talk. Don't talk it when you meet with others. It's for your personality. So don't talk when you're in dreams. Don't eat nicely. Don't dress nicely.
Yeah. In other words, put your energy, which was the point that's really given here, that was given earlier, don't become involved in the material world. If one becomes involved in the material world, even innocent as it may be, one has to pay the price of entanglement in the material world. If one's desires get entangled in the material world, one is in the material world to that degree. So therefore, the final So there's so many don'ts, don't do this, don't do that. Be satisfied with whatever comes easily. But what should you do, Radha Krishna? So worship Radha and Krishna always within your heart. Yes? That's the goal. This is what the instructions Mahaprabhu gave to Raghunath Das Goswami. Instructions that we should try our best to follow for our own benefit.
There's no mention of him formally taking initiation from anybody. So generally that would be considered unusual. That one takes darshan of Lord Vishnu, but I guess it's from the mercy of the Bhaktivedantas that he achieved that position. It's like Dhruva Maharaj.
But it's basically not mentioned.
Dhruva Maharaj, he was the spiritual master involved.
But it doesn't mention he gave him Kanti Mala, Japa Mala, changed his name, held the fire sacrifice.
It's still under instruction for spiritual master, like Dhruva Maharaj achieving perfection. But here we don't hear.
Yeah. In both cases, it doesn't mention specifically initiation. Although Dhruva does call him Narada his guru. And here, Narada. He calls the by their association and by hearing their instructions. So it doesn't say that he didn't take initiation at that point either. Is that sometimes used as an example?
I've heard that perhaps initiation is the wrong word, accepting a spiritual guide.
It sounds like because he followed their instructions. The essence of his shiksha is the instruction for relationship. So he followed, that it clearly says that he followed their instructions and he was just waiting. He had this desire in his heart after they left to take up the life as they had instructed him. But he was entangled with his mother who was dependent upon him. But he was waiting for Krishna to show his hand to open the door. And as soon as Krishna did that, which came on one level in a very unfortunate way, his mother who he was dependent upon, he was a young boy, was bitten by a snake and she died. So very unfortunate, but yet he saw that within that unfortunate was Krishna. And he walked through the door of opportunity and never looked back, practically speaking, following their instructions, focusing his mind always, being neutral wherever he was and keeping his mind always focused on the Lord. So he clearly did follow the instructions of the Bhakti Vedantas. Any other questions or comments? Yes?
It's more in relationship to something we talked about last week with the Maharaj Chichiketa and his son. But we have relationships here in this lifetime now. Die. Is there some logic in believing that those relationships are not sealing is picked up and thrown out to sea?
Yeah. But certainly the relationship as we know it within this body is finished. Because the body is what becomes dissipated like the seaweed. In the ocean of the material world, the body decomposes. So there's a story that I think Prabhupada told this in a lecture, and it got put into one of the very early books, how there was a man who was very, very wealthy, and then he died, and when he died, he left all the wealth and the house to his sons, and then in his next life, he was attached to the house and the situation, so he became a cobbler nearby. And he knocked on the door and they drove him away, beating him with shoes, things like that. So you keep in relationship with something, but the relationship may not be exactly the one we want or expected. Or in the saint killed a temple. Earlier, you know, that Prabhupada said that tree was the owner in the previous life, a tree right next to the temple, who was very, very attached, spreading his influence all over the temple, the building, previous owner. But it's also possible that that one can, and Prabhupada does mention this also in one of the purports, that one likes to think that one will take his next birth. If you have, if you come from a pious family, when one dies, one wants to take his next birth as a child in that family. But sometimes it's just self-delusion, and there's no delusion more powerful than self-delusion. Well, really, you know, in one life we perform so many activities, and we get so much reaction for that. It would take hundreds of lives. That's like it said that if one kills a cow, or takes part in killing a cow, one has to take a birth so many times for every hair on that cow's body. So for one act, thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years of karma are accrued. So we have so much karma, and in the midst of that huge, huge room of karma, of which we're going to get a handful in our next life, part of the karma is we have a relationship with this person, and a relationship with this person, and I like this person, I like this part of the world, and I like this way of dressing, or whatever. So it's up to Krishna what handful we get, actually. And it might be in 50 billion quadrillion years we again connect with someone, or maybe in the next life, depending upon the desire. And yam yam vapi smaram bhavam tyajanyande kalevram, what we're thinking of at the time of death. Especially that saratad bhava bharata. Always, this is the rule. Krishna says, sada. Always the rule. Whatever your bhava, whatever your mood is, whatever you're thinking of, whatever your attachment to is of the time of death, you will take that birth. Tyajanyante kalevram. When you leave the body, you take that birth. So what we're actually attached to, at the time of death, the consciousness trying to grasp some security out of the terror that comes. So if we have attachment to those relationships and we try to grasp onto that, it can be, as you said, by Krishna's arrangement. Really, it's very intricate, all the dealings, how the pure soul is actually within the material world. Very intricate. Okay, we'll stop here, and Krishna willing, tomorrow we'll begin Canto 8.